All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, I've taken you here to the Louvre.
Ooh, hoity-toity.
The art museum.
You think you're better than me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just, not all the time.
I mean, I asked because I wanted you to answer it, so yeah.
Yeah, and I figured let's have an honest, productive conversation about which one of us is better. like, debate me! So I figured, you know that I love art, but the classics, you know, I don't like this garbage that looks like my illegitimate kids could do it.
Oh, see, that's the thing. The level of difficulty is what I gauge art on by most times. Yeah.
And just like how much it looks like the thing.
Right.
You know, yeah. And you get these artists, you get your Rothgros. And it's like, oh, this is like a fucking stepkid drew.
Yeah.
Not even like a kid drew.
I mean, like, yeah, not even like your kid. Not even a kid would rise to this. Yeah.
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 It's all just random nonsense.
Right, right. Oh, and I figured, the sculpture?
Yeah, the sculpture. It's just a lump of fucking clay they let dry.
Ugh.
It happens to be accidentally every time I take a shit. So I figured we would go into this exhibit here, this Jackson Pollock exhibit.
Oh, God, the worst.
And look at all his random fucking nonsense that has no artistic merit, and see if a game comes to us. There.
I'm really angry at you for making me do this, Gary. I can't believe you've done this.
It's the work that we have to do. Next week, we're going to the Warhol exhibit, and we're just going to tear it down.
Yeah.
Their new podcast where we just go to art, very expensive, to pay for airfare and travel.
Yep,
you know, very expensive Patreon we have just to go to classic art exhibits that have new art and tear it down.
Just to go to art and just roast the artists.
Just roast baby. Yeah.
Oh man, descending a staircase, more like descending a toilet.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to roast it well or anything either.
No. I mean, it'll be real, like, just whatever's at top of mind kind of stuff.
Magritte, not Magritte.
I wish I had an apple in front of my face so I didn't have to see this shit.
Yeah, this is not a pipe. No shit. So here we are in what I affectionately know called the Splatterhouse.
Oh.
Where Jackson Pollock has done everything. And I think that we should really let our feelings be known. Check this out.
Shake those very quietly. I think the guards are tuned to that.
Oh, well, they're modern art guard. They probably don't even have a degree.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to spray one of them in the eye with a spray paint like he's Roars from the Jumping Flash episode. Sleep, motherfucker. Okay. What do you think about doing some like, what kind of graffiti do you want to do in the Splatterhouse?
I need to pull open the Wikipedia page. Gary, I think we need to be naughty. I think this is real transgressive. We need to do naughty graffiti.
I think so too.
I think we should spray paint a vulva on one of these things.
Okay, but however, do the vulva. Well, you know, and then we can go over to the Giorgio O'Queef section and just spray that shit like it's nothing. But I think we should be sensitive to international audiences.
Okay.
Like a multilingual.
Okay, well, let me go down. Our second most listened to country. That's right. We listen to them. The country that listens to us is the second most Japan. So Google Translate. Ooh, wampaku graffiti.
What? You only translated naughty. Translate the other word, too.
Wampaku graffiti.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Okay, so let's put some wampaku graffiti in the Splatterhouse here.
Okay.
Hold on.
Wait a minute, a panel just opened up in the middle of the floor.
Oh, that's not right. It just had us realizing. Okay. Oh, shit, panels.
Yeah. That was a game. We solved Jackson Pollock's riddle.
Oh, we get it, Jackson Pollock's gold.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Where we play pretty fun games so you don't have to.
This is actually a very good game.
This is a fun game. I love this, Gary.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of this.
Yeah. So this week, well, first, what do we do to deserve the honor? This week, we are playing Splatterhouse Wanpaku Graffiti, which is the NES platformer spinoff from the Splatterhouse beat-em-up games.
Yes, translates to Doki Doki the Graffiti.
Yes.
yeah, this is a Namco joint based on a weirdly overrated and really bad series, I think. I don't know if you've played a Splatterhouse game, but they're really not good.
Yeah, I fired one up. I had never played one, and that was going to be my story for this, but it's not much of a story. Gary, I always wanted to rent Splatterhouse because it was there. It was on the shelf. It looked very tempting. I was a Sega kid, so yes, attractive nuisance is exactly the word that I thought of, and I was never allowed to because my parents or my grandma, they didn't want me playing something called Splatterhouse.
Yes. Well, it's also very violent and stuff too.
Oh, true. Yeah.
You know, it's right on the cover. Like, it's not just,
I mean, they weren't afraid of the messiness of it. They were afraid of the corpses flayed alive and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah. which is the only thing Splatterhouse has going for it.
Right. Right.
Like, and I'm down for that. Like, I like that shit. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, I at the time, like, playing a violent game at that age felt very unique and transgressive, and I was susceptible to it.
It felt Wanpaku.
Yeah, it felt Wanpaku as shit, dude. But it was, it's extremely bad. Like, it's a really bad game.
Yeah. And my sense is they got better. Like, they stopped being as, like, stiff as they are. But, like, this is a completely divergent kind of line, right?
This is the Kid Dracula of Splatterhouse.
Yeah, is that the one with the Nike pumps?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, this reminded me of Monster Party, honestly. Yeah.
Like less surreal, like more intentionally funny.
Yes.
You know, more like less like cosmically existentially.
Yeah, where you just walk in and the spider's already dead.
Yeah, like that's transcendent. This isn't quite there. Like, it's very cute and good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite get to that, like, there's amounts of truth in it, you know? So
the book of truth that is Monster Party. This was demanded. This is a Patreon demand by Holland Hume.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know that name.
Yeah.
He says, rather than torturing you guys, I wanted to give you a funsie. This is a simple yet surprisingly competent platformer with a lot of flavor. How many other games feature a vampire that flips you off?
Yeah, this is all true. All of this stuff. And it does the Altered Beast thing of being in a movie at the end, too, which I always appreciate. Like, that's, I think that's cool.
It pulls an old Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty fun. Like, it's not like your movesets were limited.
Yeah, you have an axe, you have a jump, and that's just about it.
And you level up. So that's the kind of complicated thing is you kill enemies and you get more health and stuff. And some of the bosses are pretty tricky in it.
Yeah. Like the first vampire, like his pattern was a little bit rough for me, actually. Mm. Yeah.
I got to Sewer Frog.
Okay.
Did you get to Sewer Frog?
No, I got just past Exorcism Lady. I got just past Reagan.
The doll. Sewer Frog is legitimately super tough.
Ooh.
Like there's like a wind, like it spits, it's a sewer frog is at one end of the sewer and there's a wind pushing you back.
Oh,
and it's shooting frogs at you and you have to push through the frogs and wind.
It's like a frog rat. Gary, this is the second time we confuse rodents and frogs.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it is a rat.
It's got the big old, got the big old ears and the teeth at the front. Yeah.
Is it green?
Yeah, it is green.
Okay. In my mind, I was like, oh, that's a frog. I think it was just the color. But every time you get hit, you go back to the beginning of the wind.
Oh, geez.
So like it ends up, it's just very like a very tricky timing kind of thing. Like the frogs are moving in an arc, like they're Medusaing at you, and you are also trying to push forward in altered physics and stuff. And it was pretty hard. Like I didn't get past it. I probably could have with a little bit of extra time, and then but I was like, I have played enough Wanpaku Graffiti for now.
Right. I definitely want to play a little bit more of this.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I was surprised at how fast it is, honestly.
Yeah.
Like it is a super quick game, and I think one of the cardinal sins that a lot of these games that we play for the show commits is like, oh, it's just like mega slow and mega just kind of stiff, right?
Yes. Yeah, this feels like a fluid platformer.
Yeah.
I put it on, it's like almost in the tier of like the like Wampum tier. Of, you know, it's a little bit different of a game. It's a little bit more simple, a little bit less ambitious, but it feels about the same amount of like production value and general level of quality.
Yeah.
To me.
So
yeah,
this visually differs from the other Spider-Rex games because it's real cute. Like it's got super deformed characters and stuff like that. Like, you know, and the less people pinned open like, you know, science class dissections and
more less,
like,
less Todd McFarlane's monsters action figures or whatever, which is what you fight in most of the Splatterhouse.
Right.
Todd McFarlane discard, like things that got crumbled up and thrown into his draft folder. So it's just a cute, it's the cutesy horror kind of mix up, you know, like kind of thing, which is, I'm always down for those two flavors together.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a real fun. Real fun flavor, except when it's The Nightmare Before Christmas, which I think that movie can kind of suck an egg.
There's something else on top of the cute slash funny and spooky. Like there's a third ingredient that kind of sours the whole deal, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it's the fans, but I also just don't like the movie at all.
Yeah, I don't think that movie's very good.
No,
I was trying to think of other, because when I was thinking of like comedy horror, is easy to think of examples.
Right. Right.
Kind of cutesy horror is harder.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first one that popped into my head as something that kind of mixes those two things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then you also get like your Frankenweenies and such, things that spring from the tradition of
Tim Burton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The tradition of Tim Burton. and I don't think Frankenweenie is very good either. It's a weird thing. I guess like Beetlejuice is, well, Beetlejuice isn't cute though. That's funny. Like it's pretty hard. It's tricky to think of the cute horror genre and it working.
Yeah. Well. Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice
Junji
Ito's
Cat Diary.
Oh, what's that?
Junji Ito's Cat Diary.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's a very good mix of those two things.
Yeah. I just reread that and I cried again.
Yeah. It's very good and it's very sad.
Yeah. no. So Beetlejuice, the movie, not cute. Beetlejuice, the animated series, pretty cute.
Yeah, that's cute and horror.
Yeah,
based. That's the kind of mix.
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Is that scary?
I mean, it's meant to be. Like, it's really unsettling. Yeah.
I've never actually seen that. I just
No.
Is he the guy who hangs out with the octogenarians? Like, is he the old?
Yeah. He's got the old owners, and he's constantly trying to protect them from stuff. And usually, at the end of every episode, they're like either dead or horribly deformed or transformed into something.
That's a. You know, after my time,
yeah,
in a pretty significant way. I've never seen that show. I just know
it's
the
quite
dog.
Good. It's quite good.
Okay, yeah. I was you know, I knew that there was a dog named Courage, and he had an ironic character trait, and that was pretty much like all I had. So that's interesting. I there's more to that than I thought.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those Cartoon Network shows that is like 2 11-minute kind of mini stories.
Mm.
Like you could do worse than just like pulling one random one up on YouTube and checking it out. It's actually like good and surreal.
I ended up putting it in the Ed and Eddie shit corridor.
you threw it down the oubliette.
Yeah, the oubliette Ed and oubliette Eddie. where you put bad shows.
Although
this is ugly and hateful, I don't want to watch this.
Although I did see something that was the most high effort steamed hams edit that I've ever seen, which is steamed hams, but it's dubbed entirely with dialogue from Ed and Eddie down to like individual syllables.
It's I've seen that too, and that is very high effort. I don't know if it's higher effort than the Guitar Hero one.
Okay, yeah,
the Rock Band one where they actually tracked out the musicality of
Like hope you're prepared for an unforgettable luncheon.
Yeah, like I think that is still the most
really
impressive
high
one.
Effort, yeah.
Yeah. Are we? Do you think we're getting how long do you think Steamed Hams got?
I think Steamed Hams. So Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein tweeted the original script. But they don't have the taint. I think Steamed Hams has got until the show itself revisits Steamed Hams, like, and then it becomes, or like if the studio puts out like, hey, here's updated Steamed Hams, but we've also got Seth Rogen.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's Steamed Rogen.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, cause we Simpson shitposting goes in waves.
It does.
This is really sticking around though.
Yes, it has.
Like, we've been
legs.
In the Steamed Hams era of Simpson shitposting for quite a while.
Yeah. It definitely has become its own genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would buy a steamed hams playset from the shelf, I think. Wouldn't, isn't that a good idea?
Skinner's house?
Yeah, like just the kitchen and living room, and then a little Chalmers and a little Skinner.
Mm, and like a painted backdrop out the window that shows the Krusty Burger off in the... Yeah, and then you could buy dry ice and put it inside the oven to make the smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if those cheapskates don't give the kids dry ice. Yeah.
Every time I leave the grocery store, I walk by the cooler with the dry ice that says colder than ice. and I sing the Foreigner song to myself. You're colder than ice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want to buy some, but I know I would only hurt myself with it.
Yeah.
I have no use for dry ice. I just want it.
No, it's neat. Like it's a neat thing to have around. What age were you when you understood dry ice? Cause it took me a real long time. Like I feel like I was in my like mid 20s I understood dry ice.
It was probably like late middle school, early high school science class, like when they were talking about the states of matter, and then like, oh yeah, this is something that skips liquid and goes directly from solid to gas. I think that might have been about when it was.
Okay, like somebody, a science teacher explained it to you.
Yes. Yeah. They gave like a demonstration and they put it in some water and like, hey, look at this.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Look at it go.
Yeah. If we end up doing that, that Patreon where we go to art museums and, shit on modern artists, we should skim a little off the top to have like a dry ice cast where we just kind of like, you know, see how long we can survive. Oof. Having bought dry ice.
It's a good trick, but you can only do it once.
Yeah, what's the over under on how long we live before one of us puts in a soda and dies?
So I think about the length of one steamed hams video, honestly.
Yeah. Steamed ham, but it's Gary Cool buying dry ice until they die.
Well, what are all these lacerations on him? Yeah, he just kind of dropped it in a big like 5 gallon bucket full.
Yeah, he did it with a splash.
Yep.
Yeah.
They have to tear down the house now. It's ruined.
I hope you're ready for an unforgettable ER visit. You call it dry ice, despite the fact that it's clearly wet.
Oh man, yeah. So, Courage the Cowardly Dog definitely doesn't belong in the Ed, the Oobly Ed, Eddie.
Yeah,
You know that is the cutesy spooky thing.
That's good. Yeah, there's only it's a rarer thing than one might think.
Right, right.
You know, and rare, you know, rarer to be successful.
Of course.
And this one is. I don't have that much more to say about this. Like, it's just kind of fun and good.
Yeah.
It's everyone should play it.
Yeah.
It feels like, because this never came to America. We didn't talk about that.
Right.
So it feels like a weird lost classic NES game to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not quite, you know, top tier classic, but like it is very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so I think it got like a fan translation or something, which is not that big of a deal because there's not a lot of like text in it, honestly. Like, there's not a lot of localization that needs to happen.
So the one that I downloaded, which was the Japanese ROM, had English text. And I think the Japanese version has English text in it.
Oh, yeah, because that happens.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. Because it doesn't look like a fan translation.
Because it doesn't have that file name.
Well, it doesn't have that. Well, it also has, because I didn't have to download it from anywhere special, but also because it has the awkward phrasing. Like, what is the thing where it says, like, you are at the end of the first level, it says like you're a compost of like you're garbage on compost or something like that. Like it is a real good double dip insult that I wanted to take a screenshot of, but I was having a problem with my hard drive earlier.
Right.
But it was just it's really amazing. It's like a real brutal, you know, you're garbage on top of garbage.
Yep.
Kind of thing that the Pumpkin King tells our little psycho killer.
Yeah. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Yeah, I mean, we should definitely talk about the first boss, though, because that seems like it is very much of its era. Like, this came out in 1989. And, of course, when you roll up to the graveyard and the vampire comes out, Guess what happens? It's him and his little zombie ogre things doing a Thriller dance.
Yep. Yeah, but it's very explicit. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing, that kind of funny on purpose, that makes this not Monster Party tier to me.
Right, right.
You know, like, this is just somebody, this is just making a cute joke, which is like, still, it's not, you know, whatever the M boss you fought in, like, fucking Kid Cool or whatever. Like, it's not one of its contemporaries, but it's also like a gentle joke,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to a surreal, awesome nightmare kind of thing. Right. Like, I like this. I think this is cute. And most of the bosses are that. Like, mm-hmm. you fight, did you get to the oven boss?
No, I didn't. I don't think I did.
The oven boss is great. Like, it is a, you're in a kitchen, there's an oven, and the oven continuously produces like zombie, like dead chickens that are moving around. They had to fight while two knives from the wall, like, that are hanging on the wall, fly around and try to kill you. And there's just like this unending stream of chickens that pop out of this oven. Like, it's, and, you know, and you just fight them until they're done. I think that's how most of the bosses work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's pretty great. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. they're, you know, the rest of the bosses, if you look them up on YouTube, like, they're all kind of surreal and good.
Yeah. And they're all like, they all have like a unique visual, like that they have like a special room and a special prop that's associated with them. Like, this is really, a lot of care went into making this, you know, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of that, like, oh, we're just on a field and there's a bigger dude here.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what the bosses are like in Splatterhouse. You know, like, I always wanted to like Splatterhouse as a kid because it was dark, I mean, and edgy, but
it's audacious at the very yeah. least, right? Like, you know, but it ultimately falls down. I mean, another game we're going to be talking about in this recording session, it falls down that like a barbarian Psygnosis hole a little bit.
Yeah, the next thing we're recording about has the Psygnosis stink more than anything that's ever been done that isn't by Psygnosis. It's incredible.
I know, right?
We're going to get to it, but it's like the Psygnosiest thing I've ever seen.
Psygnasty.
Yeah, yeah. Psygnasty if you're Psygnosis if you're nasty.
Hell House on the Hill, you can get there, or Password. Sorry, I thought that would be funnier. I'm watching these on YouTube while we're talking, so I can see the other bosses.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, the thing he says, let me scrub around on a YouTube to get to what he says after the first level. I think it's after, did you get past the demon doll?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not at the demon doll, unless you missed it. Maybe it's after the oven boss fight. Scrub.
Yeah. There's so much variety in this.
Oh, man, like, when you get past the oven, I forgot, you fall through multiple layers of the floor. And there's all these skeletons in the floorboard, which is like something I am always like into.
I love that gag. I love the cross section gag.
Yeah. It's just like when that happens, you know, on The Simpsons or what have you, like, I'm always a big fan of that. So yeah. Be garbage of cesspool. That's what it is. Be garbage of cesspool, ha ha ha. So, don't mind if I'm way ahead of you, champ.
Is that a suggestion?
Like, yeah.
Oh, just, you have to be garbage of cesspool.
Yeah. He's the best. this ends up being a real, like, kind of quintessential Abject Suffering game, too, because we haven't talked about that cute horror thing. Also, there's a... Oh, no, I'm thinking of the next one. Sorry. I was going to say there's really good game fact stuff. The next one has great game fact stuff.
Yeah.
Which is also a quintessential. This is like two classic Abject Suffering.
Oh, back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one you fight. There's a set of three toilets that you fight as a boss in this game, where they open up and like little like weird blobs with eyes pop out of them kind of randomly, like a three toilet Monty.
Okay.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And that just made me think, like, I've never thought of like choosing a toilet as making a choice.
Oh, you know? Really? Tell me.
No, making a choice, like a practical choice. Sorry. My brain, I had extra stuff in there and I didn't say it. Like making a choice in like a game kind of perspective. Like you're JC Denton, right. You're down in the subway, you urinate in the correct urinal, and that's how you unlock the resistance base. You know?
Right.
Like if I were to have a secret, you know, thing, like maybe a video game where like you, or like if I was a jigsaw and you're in a room and there's like three urinals.
Right.
And if you pee in the correct one, it opens the door to the next set of urinals. But if you pee in the incorrect one, like, you know, some kind of jigsaw shit happens.
Right. Hand reaches out and grabs your ding dong, but not in a fun way.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to eat this urinal cake or you have to drink something gross to have to pee again to try again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you're kind of hard blocked. Like if you had to pee, that'd be a good way to slow down the pace of people you're torturing. If they had to pee every time they made a decision, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that's like it implied in Saw 1, where Carrie Elwes has to like urinate.
Well, he has to disinfect his stump so he can walk away.
Yeah, because urine is sterile. You can just pee on wounds.
Yeah, up to 7 times.
Yeah, up to 7 times at that point. Oh, no.
After that, deadly poison.
Yeah, that's when your urine becomes bad.
Alien blood.
Goes from purine to urine.
Yeah. No, I thought you were going to say like, oh, choosing a toilet, it's no big deal. Oh, man.
Presented
with 4 toilet stalls. There is a whole heuristic that you go down. Like it's like praying the Stations of the Cross, man.
Yeah, my friend Austin did. I used to do a comic zine back in my hometown, and he produced a urinal etiquette comic that's really good and accurate about such. I'm very versed in urinal etiquette, which is not so complicated. It's just like, if there's nobody there, be as far away from the door as you can. If there's anybody there, be as far away from them as you can.
Right, right.
You know, try not to use that urinal junior, like the one that hangs low on the wall.
But it makes me feel like a giant.
I don't like urinal junior, man, because it's just like a little lack of attention. You can just pee all over the handle. You know? Yeah. Which is one of my favorite, like Tim and Eric, like little bumpers. They used to do these little commercial things. Uh-huh. And it's one of them peeing at like a urinal junior and one of them peeing in a regular one. And while they're doing it, he's like, hey, I didn't ask. Did you want the big one? He goes, yeah. And then they do-si-do while peeing. And just switch. And like, it's...
But wait, if they were continuously peeing, then one of them would get peed on.
Yeah, one of them got a bunch of piss on the back of their okay, khaki slacks. Cool. So.
Of course it's khaki, because it has to be as visible as possible.
Yeah, and because that's what those guys wear.
Well, of course, yeah. Yeah, the game facts for Splatterhouse are accurate but also a little bit disappointing. Like,
yeah,
all of the reviews are like, yeah, this is like a 4-star game, and on the game facts scale, yeah, this is a solid 4-star, you know, or 4 mm-hmm. heart or whatever I would say. Then we've got just this one is like, what the wow, I've never seen this one before, and the signature makes it because it's just an angry smiley face.
He's pissed. It's like, don't hide games from Gothic Hero 2.
Which one of you didn't tell me about this?
Yeah, nobody. It's a very like low activity board too.
Yeah,
for being like a pretty good game,
right? In a series that people have affection for, misguided or not,
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Good stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, I was really interested in playing the other one that Holland suggested. This was his second choice. Sorry, man. The first one was a Commodore 64 game called the Movie Monster game.
Hmm.
So he gave us, either of these would have ended up being real cool, But that one was like, oh, you're playing as like the Mummy or playing as Dracula and doing, platformer kind of stuff.
Hmm.
Like brawler kind of things. Which would have been fun, but I, for the life of me, over these years of running stuff, have never been able to figure out how to emulate Commodore 64 stuff.
Yeah, it's just like less predictable and easy.
Right, right.
You know, and also we covered that a little bit with Monster in My Pocket.
Yes,
where you play as a Dracula or a Frankenstein and you go about to platform in.
Wait, did we talk about that game?
I think so.
I really, whoa.
There's a lot of these episodes. I don't know.
There are.
Is there a Monster in My Pocket, Magic Suffering?
That would be the first one that I forgot about.
Pocket, Abject Suffering.
No. No, there is not.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should do that. That's a good game. I don't, even though it would cover a lot of that same, I could have swore we did that.
Yeah. Is it that's based on the little toys, little Mighty Max things? Yeah.
Yeah. Like the cartoon specifically.
Yeah.
Based on which are, it's pretty special.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good game. And you like your choices are Dracula or Frankenstein. Like it's pretty great. Like you just get to choose, like which of these two legendary monsters with totally different thematic cores. Like, do you want to have jump over things and stomp on ghosts?
Different levels of abilities too. Like Dracula is a demigod and Frankenstein is lucky if he can keep his we had the whole episode about being a teen Frankenstein or whatever. Frankenstein's just lucky if he doesn't pop a stitch.
We didn't even can talk about that in terms of when you're talking about Frankenstein, like putting him on the pantheon, because like he doesn't have any powers or do anything. Like I'm always bummed out by got werewolves because they just have the power of a werewolf, like a wolf.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like human. And it's like, what if he was as strong as a wolf? Like, yeah, wolves are great, but you know, that's not that exciting. Yeah,
unless it's Underworld, in which case they fuck good.
They have the power of owning an Uzi. But Frankensteins are just like kind of semi-strong dudes.
Right, right.
Like I can, you give me 6 months and I can match a Frankenstrong. I can be a Frankenstrong.
You can be Frankenstrong. Yeah.
Not like the bracelet I have to throw away now because of sex monster.
What would that have actually represented?
It's when you're strong. Frankenstrong. I don't know. Like a really unpredictable career path. Yeah. It's the Mark McGrath reward for unpredictable career paths.
Yeah, the McGrath path. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But like most of the time, if Frankenstein is put into a situation with other more powerful monsters, he is given the power of electricity.
Yeah,
like he has the ability to do shocks. Like that's what he has in Zombies at My Neighbor. Right.
It's like when Ernest went to jail.
Yes.
That seems fair.
Or when a gremlin was electricity. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And if Frankenstein could do that, but it's like barely makes sense.
Right, right.
You know, it's just that's what made his heart start. Like, it's not like somebody gets hit by one of those paddles mm-hmm. and you have electricity powers. Because if so, we'd all be giving ourselves heart attacks.
We'd all be flatliners.
Yeah, we're all flatliners now. Because that would sharply bisect society if like people who had heart attacks and had to be resuscitated with those paddles then came back with electricity powers. That'd be the worst.
Well, they would be like disappeared. You know, they would die under mysterious circumstances. Like, oh, it was a hiking accident. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Jerry never hiked. But no, yeah. They were actually like grabbed by the government and sent over to like solve problems in the Philippines.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and then it's like Watchmen 2. Like, just, you know, get disillusioned with that. It'd just be all the shittiest, oldest, whitest men. you got resuscitated and got electricity powers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Yeah. Oh, well. But I mean, if that was the case, like anybody who ever played that prank where, oh gosh, you make a chain of people, and then like the last person like touches somebody unaware. And then the other person grabs onto an electric fence and it, yeah, you know, it doesn't shock anybody in the middle, but it shocks the person on the end. Anybody who did that, all of you would have electric powers.
Is that a prank?
Yes.
Or are you confessing like an, I know what you did last summer style thing that like,
I mean, not like an electric fence, like it, you know, it, you touch it and you die. It's not like the electric fence that Rob Lowe pissed on and Tommy Boy. You know, it's more like a, like, this is
like,
this
keep
is,
your dog in your yard.
Yeah. It's like mildly electric for the purposes of like keeping livestock in.
Okay. I know. Maybe I just have not met the right fences. I don't know that. I don't know this kind of fences.
So, I mean, like, I guess I grew up more in the country than you did, but like we would go have parties, on people's property. Like bonfires and stuff, and they like their property would have some farms type aspects to it enough to the point where they would have an electric fence with you know to keep their stock in.
What's the pretense of getting people to join this line of hands? Like if
somebody isn't paying attention,
they have well okay oh okay so you get a bunch of people to kind of hold hands like. Everyone is in on the joke except for the person who gets shocked.
Yeah, yeah. Or the person like, oh, they're like they are back at the circle talking or something, and then we just slowly make the chain, and then
gotcha.
Yeah, you know,
it's not just one of your like weird Midwestern hand holding parties. Where it's just kind of happening.
It's what we do instead of fucking. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a lock in.
Long protein.
Yeah. Hey. It's totally a break, like, you know, like those are the kind of electric fence that like it sucks when you touch one, but it doesn't create like a spark or anything. It's just it's just inconvenient.
I always thought that electric fences were like 0 or 60, and I was just like, I didn't know that there were gradients of electric fence.
Oh yeah, yeah,
huh. I mean I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, well, you don't want to kill your livestock, you just want to keep them where they're going. Well, you just want to keep them in.
You forget that I'm from DeKalb, Illinois, the birthplace of barbed wire. That's how we do it.
Wait, is that really the birthplace of barbed wire?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, man. I'm sure I've talked about this before, but we went like all the streets in my hometown are named after the three men who like have joint ownership of barbed wire.
Huh.
And they're the biggest, nicest house in town is a mansion of one of the inventors. And we went there as a kid and they gave us a record. Like a little 45 floppy record of a song called How Wire Won the West, which is about the influence of barbed wire on the, you know, the expansion of, yeah. of the Americas.
Well, I mean, like, that also, like, changed warfare forever, too.
And Yeah. It's a big deal. Yeah. Like, they convinced me. Like, it was a weird...
it was a very persuasive tape.
it's a really good, song. I've tried to find that on YouTube, and I can't. But it was a weird, like, hometown pride thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like, this was what the town was known for. So people in school, we spent a lot of time talking about barbed wire.
Huh.
You know, different types, like all those different like patterns you can have of it have different names.
Yeah.
The three men who invented it, Heesh, Glidden, and God, I'm gonna fail my like fourth grade local history class. It's Heesh, Glidden, and another guy, Huber maybe or something like that.
Yeah.
But they like had a falling out. Like it was like this weird. It sounded like it would almost be an interesting story, and then it doesn't quite get there.
Right. Right. And then just like, oh, we thought this up and then we made a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Mansfield's claim to fame around where I grew up was that Johnny Appleseed spent a lot of time there.
Oh,
so
okay.
a lot of the stuff that we learned about was related to Johnny Appleseed. Now, a lot of stuff about the snake mounds in southern
Ohio.
Oh, sure,
the home builders. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff like that. So nowhere near as cool as the barbed wire. Closest thing I have to that now, across the river, there's a venue called the Southgate House. It's like this old big mansion that has been turned into like a multi-stage performance space. And the guy who invented the Gatling gun lived there for a short time.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just trying to confirm my memory of these three people. So the third person is named Elwood, which it's amazing I didn't remember that because that big mansion we went to is called the Elwood House.
Oh, yeah.
However, the website is historyrat .wordpress, and there's a little thing on the side where it's like follow the history rat via email.
Oh, please!
Like the idea of this, look out for the history rat. Like,
he's gonna chew through. He's gonna chew through drywall.
Yeah. He's gonna look out, history rat.
Who could forget history rat? Yeah.
So, upcoming post, how does one go about teaching Obama?
What?
Okay, well,
uh-oh.
Yeah,
no.
I don't know if I trust the history rat.
No, anymore. No, I think the history rat got in some bad seed.
one bad history rat. Let's see him, check him out on Facebook here real quick and see.
Oh, geez.
At the history rat. Oh, yeah, there's a picture of some Nazis.
Oh, fun. Cool.
Like, I don't know if it's a pro or anti picture. I mean, history is like the one place where you can show a picture of Nazis and not have it be a... You know, necessarily an endorsement, I guess.
Right.
At the history rat. Is he at the history rat on Twitter? Let's see if this guy is an sex monster. Historian and teacher closing on retirement. Oh, maybe he's okay. Living the dream, doing what I love. That's
okay. Sweet. All right.
He seems okay.
Okay. Yeah. The Obama thing is enough to make him put him on notice, but whatever.
He might have meant like, how do you teach Obama? Like,
oh, okay. Like, how do you learn him good?
Like, yeah, not like how do you teach him C++?
Right.
You know, but like, how do you like, you know, how will history remember him? How
right,
will he be
right.
considered in history classes? Maybe that's what he was going for.
Okay. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I just
want all the Abject Suffering listeners love the history rat, the cool rat that teaches you about history. We regret to inform you that the cool rat that teaches you about history is 90% Hillary memes. Like, fuck.
Yeah. So I guess if somebody put up electric fence around your parts, around a call, they would get a visit from the "your house is on fire" fairy at night.
Yeah. Yeah. They would. So like, there'd be a posse would be rounded up.
Mm, yeah.
Because of a local pride.
Yeah. So I think that's everything. I think we're up on time.
Yeah, I got nothing else on this good game that everyone should play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, find it. It is readily available. It doesn't. I mean, like, even if it's not perfectly translated, it's still all of the charm is still grokkable, understandable.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. If you like the show, you can support us on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. It is appreciated. You can also rate and review it on iTunes or anywhere that you can rate and review podcasts.
Yeah. Big thanks to Holland for getting me to play this and getting Gary to play this and for being our backer on Patreon and just kind of generally hanging out and being a cool and helpful person.
Yeah. 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 Really appreciate that. And until next time, who is Graffiti Dog?
Yeah, he was Graffiti Dog. Get down from there, buddy.
Yeah.
You're going to inhale those fumes.